Right, we're going to begin Parshas Vayera using the commentary of the Haksav v'Hakabbalah. One of the things that I'm finding in viewing his commentary and in reading through it, and of course in picking what to share with you, is how he very much likes to focus on a word which. It's not so much a word which is saying Darshani, why am I here, but a word that has a definition that he finds to be blah. In other words, because everybody, for example, I don't want to say that his commentary is meant to refute Rashi, but often enough he'll take a comment that Rashi makes. And he'll say, I just don't like the way Rashi translates that word. And based on that, and not so much based on that, but based on other psukim in Tanakh, one of his favorite books of Tanakh seems to be Yechezkel, but whatever. Okay, I'll give you other psukim in Tanakh that use the same word and demonstrate that this is just not the correct translation. And based on his giving us a new translation of a word that, you know, which is very adequately sourced, he'll come up with a new interpretation that perhaps many of us haven't heard before in the study of Chumash. So that was a general introduction, not necessarily on the first comment, but actually on the first comment, it is an example, not so much to change our understanding and perception of the word, but to explain how some of the commentaries could be supported in their interpretation of the very first word of the parsha, Vayera Ilav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Vayera. So Vayera comes from the root Resh Aleph, which means to see. But of course, in the conjugation of the grammar, it means and God appeared to him. So take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah. So that's the first comment that you have. Levaker Sachole. That's what Rashi says. That Vayera Ilav Hashem. That Hashem appears to him to visit him because he's ill. What ill? I mean, he needs to recover from the Bris Milah. That's the classic interpretation. Bekama mekamos matzanu lashon ri'iya shiyore al bikur u'trishas pnei achole. So he says, I'm going to give you a bunch of examples where we have the word ri'iya, coming to see somebody, is really coming to check on how they're doing. Remember, the word bikur cholim doesn't mean visiting the sick. Okay. What does bikur mean? Literally, bikur means. Bikur means to check. In Hebrew, you have the word bikoret. What is bikoret? A criticism or a critique. What does that mean? You're checking what the person has done. That's what bikur means. So, what is this word? Kranken benzuch. Kranken benzuch. Oh, that's the sick people. Okay, the crankers. Okay, the crankers. Okay. Kimbo Liro says Yoram. To visit Yoram, that's one of the kings in Malachim Beis. Liro says David.
Kranken benzuch means to visit.
Right, okay, well, that's what he's saying. Okay. V'ashneim tirgim the mas'ad. V'akavanazu amar masharer in balir os. Okay, so anyway, the point is that he's bringing these psukim to prove the idea that Vayera refers to Bikur Cholim. But he's not just, you know, he's not taking it out of a vacuum. He's not saying, oh, Vayera, God appeared, must be to visit him. He's proving it from other sources. Okay, that was just a small little vort. Now, of course, immediately what happens is, as God appears to Avram in this fashion, Pasuk Beis, Vayisayinah Vayar, we're on page 78 in the Chumash, Vayisayinah Vayar. So Avram lifts his eyes and he sees v'nei shloshanashim nisavim alav. There's three men standing over him. Vayar, he sees vayaratz l'krasam. He runs to them. He pesach ol vayishtachu arza, and he runs to them. Now some commentaries might ask why vayar is twice, but we're not looking at that today. Anyway, he runs towards them. Vayomar, and he says, Adonai, my masters, imna matzasi chaymeinecha al nasa avor me'al avdecha. Okay, if I found favor in your eyes, then don't pass me by, okay? So what word? Okay, that's not his focus. Okay, what he does now is he asks the question: what does the word "na" mean? What is the word "na"? So I'll ask around the room: what does the word "na" mean? Right, please. Right, everybody says please, or at least everybody who answered said please. Okay, so take a look. Eina lashon chinu bakasha rag lashon ata. Okay, the word na doesn't mean please, it means now. V'tamo, and the reason, ki zeh adavar haya baboker, betchilas hayom, kemo shekasuv, kechom hayom. Okay, so he says, oh, I'm sorry, this is not his interpretation yet. Okay, he's going to explain where he's getting this from. So what is he saying? That it was in the morning, in the beginning of the morning, as it says, Kechom Ayom, at the, so that's actually interesting. How would you translate Kechom Ayom? The heat of the day. Okay, so we're going to get there. V'heim ratzul aleches l'darkom. So, but he's saying it's baboker. So, that they want to go on their way, and so since they want to go on their way, ein ra'u lanuach baboker, samach l'tchilas alichasam. Right, let's say you leave on a trip. Okay, I mean, it's a little easier when it's just you and by yourself, or you and an adult and a spouse. It's a little different with kids. Okay, I think I mentioned this last week. Kids. Right, you go on a trip. Right, you get out into the car, you leave. Wait, I gotta go to the bathroom. All right, we'll turn around and go back. Wait, I forgot something. All right, we'll turn around and go back. But anybody who goes on a normal journey, they leave. They don't want to stop right away. I mean, whenever I go on a road trip with my kids, I'm like, go to the bathroom now, because I'm not stopping until I need to get gas. So that's the way I think I would imagine some people. Once you get going, you want to move. Al-Kenamar. Al-Nasa Avor, Rachel Amar, Atah, Im Heyoso Baboker. He says, now, since it's morning, but don't pass me by. Okay? L'chein amar gam ken yukach namiat mayim. He says, you take now a little bit of water. Ki adayin boker v'alichasam muat. Right? They've only been going for a little bit. V'lo yitztarchu l'rechitza rabba. Since they just left from their embarkation spot, whatever it's called, disembarkation. So they don't need so much water to wash. L'chein amar me'at mayim lo li'oso ki li'behem rak li'osam biltin yitzrachim. He's not being cheap. They don't need so much. Ke'es l'rechitza at this point in time to wash up. L'rechitza rabba.
Do we have something that's
on
saying not twice
the
same night?
Yes, that was, I believe that's the Vilna Gaon. Yeah. One of the more fascinating interpretations I've ever seen regarding the word no is in Parshas Toldos, when Esav says, Haliteni no, you know, Adon, Adon was there. Because there's another interpretation of the word no. And that is, Al Tochalumi Menu. No. What does no mean? Regarding the Karban Pesach, don't eat the Karban Pesach, raw. And so I read an article, it was actually in Megadim, where the guy argues that the word no with Esav is Haliteni no min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. Give me this raw red stuff. And it's actually proven right there, because what color are lentils when they're cooked? Are they red? No, they're brown. And what color are they when they're red? I'm sorry, when they're red, thank you. They're red. They're raw when they're still red. So it was and that fascinating interpretation just indicates how little patience Esav had, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, or how hungry he... Okay, well, anyway, this is not Parshas told us. Okay, so but I just wanted to throw that out there. V'amar v'ishanu tachas ha'etz l'schameim. He's having them to sit under the water l'schameim. I don't know, l'schameim means to warm up. But I guess to get comfortable. Ki ayazeh boker hashkeim v'adayin kriros halayla miskaberes. Oh, so maybe he's saying that because in they weren't in a desert, but it's colder at night, typically, so he is giving them the opportunity to warm up. And he says, have some breakfast, like those who are going in an early day. To have a little bit. Adkan dato. So he's quoting others. And he says, I have a wonder on this. He's not paying attention to language. Who was he quoting at the beginning? Reish Yud Aleph, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. Okay, so all that interpretation was Abarbanel, when he says that no means atov, but and like Chom Ayom means the boker. He says in the morning. He says, I don't understand this, because how could he not pay attention to the language? Ki lashon Chom Ayom al Eitz Atzoharayim o Korav lo. Like people in this room interpreted, Chom Ayom means the heat of the day. It would say something else if it were referring to early part of the morning. But when Ish Boshes, that's Shaul's surviving son, who was slated to become a king, and there was a little bit of a fight over that, over the continuation of Shaul's line when David was assuming the kingship in that story. But they're coming to visit Ish-bosheth at Chom Hayom when he's having his afternoon siesta. V'chasuv od, macharti alechem tshua kechom ha-shemesh, that you're going to have a salvation in Shmuel Aleph when Shaul's going to be successful in some battle. When's that going to take place? In Chom ha-shemesh, which is in the middle of the day. Machar ke'es ha-bogar v'lechem tshua, l'chein amar, Sham vayimi macharas vayvo b'ashmores haboker vayekuas amon ad chom hayom. That they start b'ashmores. Ashmores means early, and they're fighting until the middle of the day. Advarim uvarim. It's very clear. Verabuseinu amar gam kein chom hayom b'shah shishis detula v'shim shav shuriv v'chakechada. And chom hayom means middle of the day. Kechom hashemesh b'arba shows detula career v'shim shav shuriv. So again, he's using another explanation. V'amnam amru me'at ma'im lo yisakim. So he says the reason for not having a lot of water was not because they were not dirty, because they were only on the road for a little bit of time. It's because however it works in terms of pores and getting water on you. I remember when I saw when I was in college, I took a class on westerns. So one of the movies that we saw was a spaghetti western called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah. And there's one scene in there when Clint Eastwood, he's off in the he's been out in the heat of the sun cooking, and then when Eli Wallach comes across him and he needs to save him because he has the secret about where the treasure is buried. So he takes the tiniest amount of water just to wet his lips and says, "Don't swallow, because you're so hot, it's gonna be very dangerous to you." And just the tiniest, just a little moist. And so that's, not that he's quoting Sergei Leone, but that's my only frame of reference in terms of understanding how the pores work in that type of situation. So he may be accepting the idea of na being ata, but maybe not, because he doesn't really address that. He addresses more kechom hayom, but nonetheless. But you see again how he brings proof from other places to show.
Is he talking about all the nas here?
Yeah, Barbanel is. So I'm not sure. I'm not. It's not clear to me if he's rejecting that. He's clearly rejecting Abarbanel's chom hayom. Whether he's rejecting his na is a different conversation. But you know, because it doesn't matter. In other words, ata could still mean now, with chom hayom being the middle of the day. But his problem is how all of the Abarbanel's interpretation is hinged on chom hayom being in the morning, and he says that that's clearly not correct. So that's all. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one. Achar tavoru. I'm not going to get bogged down into it. But the main point that I want to show to you is that when he says to him that you're going to do all this stuff, achar tavoru. He says the word achar. If you look about almost halfway down. L'da'ati lashon achar ta'avoru hora aso siba. That achar, that afterwards, or in other words, it's the excuse. In other words, something has to happen, and then afterwards you can go. It's based on the, he shows on the second line, he says, kol makom lashon al-kain yore lashon siba. Al-kain is an excuse. In other words, this is the reason why you're passing by. But he's saying that achar ta'avoru is also sadu libchem, okay, because that's the reason why you're passing by. Achar or once you are so aid libchem, once you feed yourselves, once you satisfy your heart, then you have the excuse to be able to ta'avor. So it's more, again, it's more of a language thing. I don't know if it's a major chiddush in terms of changing interpretation, but that is that's something that I also wanted to show you in terms of his understanding of language. Okay, now Avraham goes ahead, vayimaher Avraham, and there's a lot of emphasis, of course, on Avraham rushing around to tell everybody what to do, the na'ar to prepare the meat, and Sarah to prepare the cakes. So pasuk vav, vayimaher Avraham va'oel el Sarah. Avraham goes to the tent to where Sarah is. Vayomer, he says, mahari shlosh se'im kemach solis lushi va'asi ugos. Okay, so he tells her what she has to do here. So look at the comment, the Ksav HaKabbalah on Maharish Loshim. I'm Mefarshim Uloshon Katzar. Ritzarach Lamar Lachi Maher Uchi Shalosh Seim. That what Avram is doing here is he's using very concise language to tell everybody what to do because he's maher, maher, maher. You know, when people are hurry, you know, you got to take care of it. Quick, quick, quick. So, ulama mevin b'chokma ha'alatza, rhetoric. Anyone know what that means? Okay. Yavin ki ein kan shum chisaron. He says there's nothing missing here. Avram is not using a lashon katzar. He's not using a short language. Ki chein tev ha'maher laber davar nachutz v'rav ha'mihirut. So in other words, he's being precise, but he's not cutting short what he needs to say. He's saying the main things that need to be said. Things which don't need to be said. I remember I once wrote an article that I wanted the Jewish Week to publish. It was about Bris Mila after the whole Mitzitza controversy came out in 2012. So I wrote it. I was just rattling off. And the guy says to me, we'll publish it. You just have to cut it in half. Okay. So I did. I spent a lot of time to knock out. And there was so much extra verbiage, which I did not need. So much so that when I sent it to somebody in my family, their response was, not a word wasted. And I said, good, I did a good job. Okay, I did a good job in editing it down. But that's what it means when you fast. You cut out all the extraneous words that you don't need. Because they're a burden on the person. What does geshvind mean? Anybody? Okay. Draya mos des feinsten melis. Clear?
Not to be. Anyway. Geshvind comes from the word to go. Shvindo,
not
the trick,
but in
the term of
straightforward. Speed. Okay. Im siman akriya b'sof la'horos ha'is orus. What is the siman akriya b'sof? So all the acts are what you have to do, and then the v'asiu gos is just summarizing. This is somebody who's being very smart, as opposed to somebody who is like, we need the cakes, we need the cakes. He's saying, no, this is what, you know, I'm giving you the instructions, do this, do this, do this, and the cakes will get done quicker, as opposed to, you know, we need cake, that's what we need cake, because we're hungry. It's more, it's by design. So he's showing that Avram is actually being very thoughtful, and not just talking. The fellas tell him, and when I say fellas, because they're referred to as anashim. So later on, it's only later on when they start giving their message that we figure out that they're angels. So look at this. Vayomru a love, ayei sara ishtecha. Turn the page on page 80 in the Chumash, Pasuk Tes. Vayomru a love, they say to him, ayei sara ishtecha. Where is Sarah, your wife? Vayomru hineva oel. Okay? So take a look. Ayei sara ishtecha. Lefi amunach ba'alei alashon, sheminas v'hinei lo yishamesh ki'im bedavar hischatshus. So now he's telling us what the word hinei is supposed to mean. Now what does hinei mean? So when we translate in English, we usually say it means
behold.
What does behold mean? Here it is. But he says, no, it's not just behold. It's I'm telling you something new. I'm telling you a chiddush. I'm telling you something you didn't know before. Okay, because it would seem obvious. Well, what do you mean? Of course, right? Where else would she be? Wait, she went to Walmart. I mean, this is pre those days. So where else would she be? Hineba oil.
Okay,
so that's Rashi's answer. Now, but hold on. But we first have to understand the question. Why would they be asking where is she? Isn't it obvious? So they're asking it because apparently it's not obvious. So what should she be doing?
Now, why do they need to know?
Well, why, okay, it's a different question. That's not the question. He doesn't address why do they need to know. He's asking the question of why are they asking this question? clearly something is not obvious and something needs to be, you know, the answer is going to be something which is not obvious. Yeah.
Okay, two questions. One, do we know that Avram recognized them as men or angels? How did he perceive them?
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know.
Can I ask the question? Is because if they're men, I don't know, whatever culture you're in, it would seem to me a rather inappropriate question for strange men to ask them, hey, where's your wife?
Right. If that's the way it's meant, and if that's
well,
the understanding,
I don't know how it's meant.
Right? But
well, that's. I wouldn't even ask why your wife is. Where your wife is.
Okay, right. So he's going to address that. What's your second question?
That was the second.
Oh, okay. So hopefully we'll get through both of them. Oh, I answered the first one already. Okay. Right. Okay. Ein lemilazuma kompo. See, the word hine doesn't belong here. V'nir lomar acharsha shalu b'lashon ayei sheinem chavein bo ladas makom moshava. He says the word ayay isn't, they're not saying, where is she? As in, we are curious. What they're saying is, how come your wife isn't right next to you? In other words, it's actually not impolite. It's actually polite. In other words, if this is a gathering, and and we'd love to talk to your wife. Give me a reason why she's not here. However, except Kemosha Gazal Le'el B'Milas Eicha or Ayeka. I mean, I don't think Eicha appeared here before. It would be Ayeka. No, I don't think Eicha appeared before. Anyway, but he says Klamar Madua He Tisha. So as much as I just said it was polite, what Gershon you said before about the culture is actually what he's reflecting on. Why is she changing the culture of the world? That the women are setting the tables and they're serving. No, what's going on here? Why are you doing all this?
Hey, where's your wife?
Okay, all right. But even more so, because you, Abraham, are chalush v'choleh. You just had a circumcision. Why on earth are you running around? I don't know how many of you know any adults who've had a circumcision done in adulthood, but from the men that I've spoken to who've had it done in adulthood, it's not easy to run around a couple days after this has taken place. What? Okay, so fine. So ask that individual if you were. She should be doing this because you're weak. And so he says, Hinei ba'ohel, because again, what does Hinei mean? It's a chiddush. He's teaching them something which they think they know what should be, and he's saying, no, Hinei ba'ohel. Klamar. You're right. She is always doing exactly what you're talking about. This is actually the opposite of her nature. Why is she sitting in the tent? Why is she in the tent? Because something new has in fact happened. And that's the answer that she gives. Right? Right, that her menstruation came back, her body indicating that you are ready to have a child, and that is what the chiddush is. So in other words, he's fine. All the rabbis say that's exactly what happened to Sarah. So what's his proof? The word hine.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah.
If she's having her, the timing doesn't seem right, because if she was menstruating at this point, when she hears what they actually tell him, she wouldn't be amazed.
So that boils down to a different question, and this is also what the Ksava Kabbalah does a lot as well, and it's what I like to call the dramatic reading question, and this is really what he's doing here when he says something is lashon tamia. It's a language of wonderment. What he's telling you is that you're reading a quote, but how is that quote said? The Torah doesn't give you punctuation. The Torah doesn't put exclamation marks, question marks, intonation. The Torah just gives you words. So, what's the intonation? Yeah. Right? I could say the word no. You could say the word no. We can have completely different meanings. No. No? No. No? Right? It's just the same word.
So, no I hear means she was menstruating?
No, that's Rashi's interpretation. Rashi is saying she's being modest. He's saying baloney. She's not being modest. I mean, she's being modest because she's menstruating. That's why she's being modest. But not because she's a tsnua, she hides. Chalila. She's a machneses orachim the same way that Avram is a machnes orachim. But something is going on with her now. And what's going on with her now? A chiddush. What's the chiddush? Hinei tells us a chiddush. A new thing is going on with her. What's going on with her? That for the first time in many years, she's menstruating.
But I don't understand the timing because she hasn't heard what they said. She's menstruating,
mm-hmm.
and she's obviously amazed by it. And then, as the pasuk continue, she's told that she's going to have a child. Why should she question it?
She's not. She doesn't question it.
Well, she does say words to that.
Ah, okay. So now, again, dramatic reading. Take a look at pasuk Yud Gimel, Yud Beis. Sarah laughs. Right? Acharei v'lo siyai, said Liadna. She says, "I'm getting my period. No problem. V'adoniz okay, but my husband's an old guy."
Boy.
She's not questioning herself. She's talking about him. Next pasuk. She didn't say that. The Gemara says that why does God say that I'm old, that she said I'm old? Shalom Bais. She didn't say that. Okay, next line. Oh, that's not even her anymore. And there, so Sarah, she did not contradict. She's not amazed.
Well, isn't there another interpretation?
We're not doing the other interpretation. This is a Ksavah Kabbalah class. Okay. Yeah, well, that's what commentaries are. They disagree with each other. They have different interpretations.
Can you come to the same conclusion?
No.
Everybody
it's totally different focus.
No. When you come to the conclusion that the miracle of the birthing...
Oh, yeah, in Echinami. But again, his chiddush here is that the word hinei is the proof to everything else that you're going to... We can't get stuck in this. Okay, let's move on.
I'm trying to understand it.
Oh,
the question is, why did he say hine? Why did he not say he ba'ohed or ba'ohed or whatever?
Right.
Hine means
davar chadash, and the davar chadash is what's happening to Sarah, because it's and that they're not being rude and saying, oh, where's your wife who's not around. Because she normally is around, and maybe that was the reputation which they had. Whether you want to say again, the idea of Avraham only deals with men and Sarah only deals with women. Just take a look at any shluchim anywhere in the world who deal with wayfarers, and I cannot imagine for the life of me that Avraham was only dealt with the men and Sarah only dealt with the women. It's ridiculous. It doesn't happen. They're a couple. They're a team. They're doing this together. The fact that she's missing, and on a day when he's suffering from surgery, there's only one reason why he's doing it. Not because she's tsnua. That's, again, this is him. This is not Rashi. Not because she's tsnua, but because something's going on with her right now where she can't be around. And that's something which a person wants to be tsnua for, so you can combine them if you like. But he's focusing on this word, which brings out that interpretation. Okay, we're not going to do that now. Let's move on. Moving on. What's the next one that I gave you? Oh, Yud Gimel. Good, like that one.
You know, if she has a period on that day, then she's going to give birth 9 months, not a year.
Well, Avram is not exactly in a position to impregnate her right now.
Doesn't say for conception.
No, not quite.
No, but I mean, ototo.
Correct, so they say kais chaya, which means a year from now.
No.
I don't think so. My understanding, Keis Chaya means a year from now.
But
it can't be 9 months from now because Abraham is a little out of sorts in terms of what needs to happen, Rabbi Kosofsky. He just had surgery over there.
No, I'm just saying.
All right, look, we can argue about what Keis Chaya is. Let's move on. Pasuk Gimel. So, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, Lama zetzach hakasa rali mor ha'afu namei leid v'ani zakanti. Hashem tells Avraham, why is Sarah laughing, saying, it's one thing if I give birth, how can I give birth? I am old. V'ani zakanti. Okay? Take a look. L'hamiforshim, hu ba'atzmo ma'asha amra hi acharei v'losi, l'fi zek sh'amra Sarah lo tzachachti hi achasha gemura. So, I'm sorry, take a look. We have to actually read the next pasuk. When... Pasuk Tesvav, Tezvav. Yeah, skip a pasuk. Vatechachesh Sara lemor lo tzachakti ki yareya. She says, I did not laugh because she was afraid. By Yomer, and he says, lo, no, ki tzachakt, you did laugh. Right. Who cares if she laughed? Does it really matter?
Why the question is talking she, here when Hashem was talking to Avram when he asked the question about
it? So that's a good question. The Torah doesn't tell us that Avram confronted her with her, but it's implied. On the other hand, they also say that Sarah had greater nevuah than Avraham did. So, a lot of different things going on here. In any case, it seems that Avram confronted her with this laughter business. So what does he say here? I'm at the end of the first line. It seems that she is completely denying. That those who point out that when she said that when God says about that she said about herself that I am old, which is different than what she actually said that he is old, which shows that you're allowed to change what somebody said for the sake of peace. When she said, she's basically saying, I don't have to give up on myself. She says, up until now, I wasn't menstruating, but now I am. The fact that Avram is old, that's what she said.
He's.
What?
And there's no way of proving.
Okay. Im Kain, kishamra acharei Kain, lo tzachakti ein kan hachashaklal. When she says afterwards, I did not laugh, it's not a contradiction. How? Kized domel ruven shamar, ochal ayom anavim, velo te'inim. I'm going to eat grapes today and not figs. Vuhu shamea divrei shimon shamar lachavero, lama ze amar ruven, shalo yochal ayom anavim. And then he hears that somebody, Shimon says to somebody, how come Reuben said that he's not going to eat grapes? Hold on a second. He didn't say he's not going to eat grapes. Im al shmias dvarim ela yashav Reuben. If that's what Reuben's responding to, nishbani shalo amarti shalo lecho ayom anavim. Right? Somebody is going to confront Reuben about something which he didn't say. She says, I didn't say it. What are you talking about? So he's denying. No, she's not lying about something which she said. She's denying something which she didn't say and do. Nishbani shalom mar shalolcha hanuchalit fosas Reuven shishvua so shek. Are we saying that Reuven's a liar? Kachak shishama sar devrei amal shetoleat tzchok ala menia mitzida veishiva alav lo tzachakni ain kan sheker. The Avram is saying, why did you say you can't give birth? What's your?
She didn't say she can't give birth.
Exactly, that's the point. That's what Avram was told by God. God said, Avram, how come Sarah says that she can't give birth? She's old. So Avram comes up and she laughed because of that. And Avram says, what, you laughed? You said you can't give birth, you're old? And she says, I didn't even know what you're talking about. God changed it. God, that's not what she said. And that's, so he's saying that.
Okay, so put the two words in lo yareya. Okay, that fear. That's not her words. She didn't say that.
Correct.
But the way the pasuk reads, it seems like she said it. Right? It says, because I was afraid. But that's she didn't say ki yoreya.
Correct, she didn't say. But she denied whatever it was because she was afraid that it was an accusation which makes her look really bad.
But take his explanation and throw in ki yoreya, and then what happens to his?
No, I don't think it does anything. I think it's saying that, look, Martin, if I come over to you and I say, hey, why'd you make that mess on the floor? What are you going to say to me?
I didn't make the mess on the floor.
Okay, now let's say I was really confrontational and I sounded really angry and I was really going to be upset over what it is that I'm accusing you of having done.
Don't hit me, I'll clean it up.
Okay, thank you. Okay, exactly. All right. So, okay, but there's a point here. So skip to the part, there's a question mark. After the question mark. He says, even though her answer doesn't have complete denial, because it's not what she said, he says, there's still, it's not complete truth. Dimitshuva stamis lo tzachakti, because if she said, when she says, I didn't laugh, mashma uto, shelo tzachakaklal. That seems to imply she didn't laugh at all.
What does that mean?
The mashma uto, the implication of her saying that I did not laugh is that she did not laugh at all. However, the Torah says that she did laugh. But it's chaksa rabbi kibale more. Okay, so davar gadol gilam denu b'zeh akama tzrichim anshimala lihizar milachay bereshes hasheker. So this is the lesson. It's the Musar Haskel. He says somebody you view yourself as a person who is a person of stature. You have to be extremely careful about what you say. When she says, I didn't laugh, when she denies what Avraham's accusing her of saying, she says, Lo tzachakti, meaning what you're accusing me of, that's not true, and I didn't laugh about that, because I wasn't making fun of, I wasn't saying that I couldn't do it, and I wasn't denying what God said. So I'm not sure what you mean.
What do you mean Abraham said?
Abraham, no. Right, but in other words, that's what God told Abraham. So the implication of the pasuk is that Abraham turns to her and says, hey, why'd you say this? And she is denying it. She says, I didn't laugh about that. I don't know what you're talking about. But she did laugh. And so that's why the pasuk says, Vatichachesh Sarah. Okay, in other words, she's not lying, but there isn't, there's a shemitz of something which isn't true. Because the fact is that she did laugh a little bit. And the Torah says that she did. So when it says, Lo tzachakti, what he's saying is that you have to be really careful. If you're a person who's considered an anshe mala, somebody who is of stature, be extremely careful about emes and about sheker. To not have any smidge of not truth. In other words, what should Sarah have said? Tzachakti, but not about what you're talking about. Not about what, you know, whatever it is that you're accusing me of. I didn't say that. That part I'm going to deny. But I did tzachakti. And that's why in her denial, Vatechachesh Sarah lemor lo tzachakti, why is it called a denial? Because she's denying on the laughter part. The rest of it is completely correct. She should be denying it because it wasn't true. It's not what she said. She didn't say, I don't believe that God is not going to give me a child. She said something about him. But God did not tell Abraham what she said about Abraham. God only told Abraham something else, which isn't what she said. So it's a question of why is the word batechachesh there, which seems to imply that she did something wrong, when she's denying something that she didn't say.
Why did God misquote her?
So that she shouldn't look like she's saying about her husband, he's an old guy and can't father a child.
Yeah, but he still made her look like he twisted her statement.
Okay.
He cast her in a bad light in the eyes of her husband. This is God talking to Abraham.
And that's what that Ksav HaKabbalah is saying is, if you're an Anshe Mila, don't change the truth. Why is God doing it? To not cast aspersion between husband and wife. Why God does that? I don't know. Maybe it's to teach us a lesson. It's a Shalom Bias lesson. That's a longer conversation.
Even so, you would totally agree with her. You're right. Both. So are you. We are both.
All right.
But she did do something wrong.
Well, it's to teach us to make Shalom Bias.
Yeah.
But she did do something wrong. However she phrased it, however you interpret how she phrased it, by laughing at all, even in her heart, what she was saying is, I can't believe what you said. And that's saying that God can't make it happen.
Again, but that's it goes back to the dramatic reading question. Okay, I can't speak as a woman who thought once I was going to give birth and then totally gave up on it because I understand a little bit about biology and now my biology is changing. There's different ways people can laugh. You can laugh and say, scoff it off, and you can laugh and go, ah, oh my goodness, it's going to happen!
All the words that are in there, and even as interpreted, she's saying that her husband is old, how could it happen?
She also said,
I don't know, there are different ways to look at it.
And her laughing, she may have just been amused. This is news to her, shocking news.
She's teaching us Donald Trump's
course. Okay, right. Okay, I can't get into the Ramban. I'm already not going to get to three quarters of what we want to do today. Okay, all right, let's move on. Okay, another new interpretation of a word. Okay, we're going to go on now to Pasuk Parakutas Pasuk Hey. Okay, we're moving on. We're just moving past here. And now we're in Sodom. Okay, we're in Sidon. The two fellows are in Lot's house. And Perikutas, it's the bottom of page 84. And the Torah tells us that they're in his house, they're talking to him, whatever. He's invited them to eat, and before they, and he's invited them to sleep. He's already given them matzah to eat, and now they're about to go to sleep, whatever that means. And Pasuk Hey, Vayikru'u El Lot, the people of Sodom come along and they call out to Lot and they say, Ayei ha'anashim asher bo elecha halayla, hotzi'eim elecha b'nei da'osa. Where are the people who came to your house? Bring them out. We are going to
mess them up.
So Lot comes out, Vayitzele and Lot apascha adel sagar harav, he goes out, closes the door. Vayamar, alna achai tareyu, hinena li shtei banos, I've got two daughters. Where is the thing? I'm trying to find the quote that he's doing. Lana Shima El. Yeah.
I'm going to Sodom.
What?
How do you. Where's the transition from Pasuk Tesvav to Tesayin?
No. The transition is that what.
If this was such an important conversation about Yitzchak's future name, and how she's old and he's old and blah blah blah.
Okay. All right, so the class here, he's saying this very troubling thing. He says, "Ineina li shtei banos, I've got two daughters, Asher lo yadu ish, who have never known a man. Otsiana asen alechem, I'm going to bring them out to you. And you could do with them what you want. But just don't do anything to these guys. Okay? So, what? So I actually have my own interpretation about this. Knowing what we know about the people of Sodom and the root of the word Sodom, which is the root of the word sodomy.
They didn't want the girl.
That's my
idea. Yeah,
right.
That's an interpretation.
Yeah. There may be somebody who says it. I don't want to get bogged down in that. Right. But I'm with you on that. However, the Aksava Kabbalah, he has something about Lot's daughters because they were from Sodom. You know, it's interesting. Asher lo yada'u ish. So take a look at Pasuk Hey here. Asher lo yada'u ish. Havle lamar asher lo yada'an ish. It should say that a man never knew them. Right? Why? Kida Amar Bisula Vishlo Yuda'a. Right? When it refers to Rivka in next week's Parsha, she's described as a virgin that a man never knew her. Elamina Gwaderaka Ishlavatos Isha. Says that's the way it is. A man tries to get the woman, not the other way around. Aval Benos Lot, Perutso saw you. But the daughters of Lot, they were, I'll just use the word flirtatious. Okay? Bedarkan lefatos, shekain pisu esavien. Hey, doesn't take, it's only a chapter later where they do this to their father, right? They bring their father upon them. It's not the other way around. Lachain kasaba and asher lo yodu ish. So that's why it's describing them as that way. Vechem ibnos midyan, shay prutsos, ufidus Israel, ksibahen, vechol ish, vechol isha yodas ish. Remember what the Midianite women did in the aftermath of the story of Bilam? They came on to the men, which is very different than the way that Rivka is presented in the Torah. So you get a sense of what we're of who we are, of who we're dealing with. That's his view about the daughters of Lot. There are other views about the daughters of Lot, for example, that they were as innocent as they come. That's another way of looking at it. But again, he's looking at the language and in comparing these ladies to the ladies of Midian versus Rivka, you see we're dealing with a different mentality. Okay, again, it's a language game that he's playing. Now, one other word in this pasuk. Rak la'anashim ha'el al ta'asu davar. Don't do anything to anashim ha'el. What's the word ha'el? What does that mean? Ela, right? Anashim ha'el is Ela. Well,
Ksav HaKabal is Kel.
Okay, so you're saying that they're godlike. All right, could be. Ela is another interpretation. Okay, so the argument against Ela is that if it's Ela, then say Ela. Okay, so that's so take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah. It says, Agon Yomar, ki ba'avur ha'shlishi shelo ba amar kein. V'zatam rachok, I'm sorry, let's skip to the part which is important. Look to the part where he says Lachain Yoter Nachon. Okay? Lachain Yoter Nachon Lefaresh Mila Sael Me'inyan Tzidkascha Kaharerei El. Now those doesn't mean the mountains of God. What's Kaharerei El? Anafei Arzei El Shalom Aforshim Laflagas Adavar B'malo V'chashivus. That El means things which are significant, important. I told you, he likes to quote from Yechezkel. Perishrashi Sarei Aretz, Umaturgam Sham Ramave Ara. Right? The Aramaic interpretation is great ones. Metam Lan Hashim El, Hamuflogim, Bemala Vachashivus. They're Verdegamaner. What does that mean? They have a special manner about them? Okay? So that's the point. He says, if I tell you that they're important people, these are diplomats who have come. These are, you know, important aristocrats who have come. You guys want to have your way with my guests? Sorry, you can't do it. They're untouchables. Okay, that's what Lanashima El means. Again, it's a different interpretation. It's not something we need to go crazy about, but he's showing you and he's bringing proof that the word El has other meanings. His next commentary, I don't have the time to go into, but Kalkein Ba'u, is using the word Ba'u, he's saying that they came, but Tzel Karasi, what's the point of describing them in this manner? I'm just going to summarize it. He says that, you know, the people of Sodom, their problem in general with wayfarers, the people who came through town, was that they did not want to create a welfare state. They didn't want people coming in and becoming a burden on society. So what Lot is essentially saying to them is, Al-Kain Bo, but Sel Korasi. They came into my house, but they came. And they didn't enter into town in some manner which is not acceptable to us. They came into my house. I'm taking care of them. It's my business. It's not your business. Don't worry about it. They're not here settling. And by the way, they're going to leave in the morning. So if your concern is that Sodom is going to become some kind of welfare state or some place burdened by immigrants who are no gooders, no do-gooders. Okay, so that's not the story here, and that's essentially his interpretation in Kialkain Ba'u. Okay, let's take a look now. Oh, this is actually important. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. So we're all familiar with the idea of what happens to Lot's wife, right? What happens to Lot's wife? So I have a problem with what happens to Lot's wife because the idea of a punishment in any form in the Torah being something of the that what happens to a person is of the supernatural. In other words, that there's a morphing into salt, for example. You don't see that in the Torah. If a person dies, they die. Right? Maybe there's an earthquake with Korach. Right? Something happens. Maybe a fire comes down. But we don't say that their body turns into fire. They die. Their neshama is consumed. So to suggest that what happens to Lot's wife is that she morphs into salt is something which is very difficult. That's not the way God operates. Somebody dies, they die in some way, but not this. So what happens? Take a look in Pasuk. It is Yud Zayin, but before that, okay? Pasuk Tes Zayin, okay? By Yisma'ma, there was a hesitation. So what are they, when they're telling Lot and his family to leave? So the two men, these two men, angels, whatever, they grab Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, because God had mercy on him. So they're out of the city. That's what Vayotzu, they took them out, and they placed them outside the city. When they took them out, they didn't tell them before they left, don't turn around. They tell them as they're already out. Okay, so could it be that they can turn around at this point in time and look at what's going on in Sodom?
No.
It could be, because they haven't been told not to. Himalei dan lashecha, al tabit acharecha, get gone, don't turn around, v'al tamal b'chol hakikar, and don't stand anywhere in the plain. Hahara himalei pentisefer, go to the mountains, lest you be caught up or swept away. Okay? V'yomer lot alehem. Oh, I kind of skipped something. This is actually important.
You
want to
look in the...
It's okay. There are two things that go on here, and he actually talks about this in great detail, and actually we're going to see it. So let's take a look. Let's take a look. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay? Because the Pasuk soon afterwards says that they left, and then they get to one place. Where is it? Yeah, right. They get to Tzoar, and then the pasuk Chav Gimel, and they're all there, right? Pasuk Chav Gimel. Hashem Shetzal Aretz V'Lot B'Tzoara. Sun rises, loads in Tzoar. Hashem Yimkiras Adon Amarah Gafris Va'Esh. There's a raining down of sulfur and fire. Meis Hashem Neshamayim. So that's one thing that's going on. Vayafoch Esarim Ha'El. Oh, interesting. Okay, Harim Ha'El. Maybe they were important cities. They're described when Lot moves there as Kagan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. So anyway, so he turns it over. So there's two things going on here. There's the raining down of fire and sulfur, and there's the turning over of the city. Okay? Everything gets turned over. She turns around and she becomes this pillar of salt. Okay?
So, the Hebrew word for salt?
Melach. Mem Lamed Ches.
Are there any other recognized meanings or interpretations of that word?
Not that I know.
Does it signify salt? Is that the Hebrew
word? I think that's the only thing it is.
That's the salt.
It's only salt. That's my understanding. Okay, let's take a look because it's fascinating. Okay? And this is probably going to be our conclusion today. There's so much more to do. We didn't even touch the Akedah, but whatever. It is what it is. Okay. It's a huge parsha in terms of content and tochen. So that's it. Anyway, pasuk yitzayin. Al tabit acharecha. Shira kasuv al tamod b'chol hakikar v'al tabit acharecha achar shetinatzel. So what the pasuk is saying is don't stand in the entire plain. Don't turn around after you've been saved. Ki adayos lo tahara lo tered al emara. Okay? Because until you get to the mountain, you have to get to the mountain. Once you get to the mountain, then the bad can come. Uba avur kein amar ve'anochi lo uchal li'malei tahara pentid bakani hara b'yosi bakikar. So he says, this is why Lot says, I can't go to the mountain. Because if I go to the mountain, then the ra'ah, then the bad is going to come while something is still left in the kikar. Ki ata lo tarich li rak ma'a kasher marta maheri malei. He's saying there's only a window of time. That there's only a limited window of time if we actually take the move that you're telling us to go. L'dvarav hamikra mesura shachabo ha'hara al yabit sharei kodem l'chein lo na'aseh davar. So he says, therefore, the pasuk is actually missing something because it was only after they got to the mountain that the instruction to not turn around came upon them. Ve'ein tzarech l'zeh. He said, but we don't need this. Why? Ki mimasha amar achar zeh v'ashem imkira sodom al maragar fritz v'esh. The fact that the Torah gives us two depictions of destruction, one of things raining down, and one of the city being turned over, everything being turned over, says it's not all one thing. There are two things going on here. There are two psukim, in fact, which are describing the destruction of these cities. Zechab Rishon Rak Ha'arim, and the first one is only talking about the destruction of the cities. Uvesheni Parat HaKikar V'Atzamach. And the second one, you're talking about the plain. In other words, an open place where people don't live, and the vegetation that's there. Barishon Zachar Ha'esh. In the first one, you have the fire destruction. Uvesheni, and in the second one, you have Hamapecha, the overturning. Mikol Zenira, Shahayu Sham Shnei Yanim, there are two things going on. Ha'echa Shehar Gafres Va'esh, one is the things raining down, the fire, the sulfur. V'loyer Adzoz Kim Al Ha'arim Sdom V'amara L'anish Yoshvein Arashim Aflei V'fela. So the fire and the sulfur raining down was to punish the people of the cities. Aflei V'fela, terrible wonders. V'habei Siyam Apecha, at the overturning of the city, sheniyeh ra'ash gadol mitachas makom hakikar v'nefchu. So in other words, what's a ra'ash gadol? Some kind of crazy earthquake. Okay? So that the plane gets turned over v'nefchu ha'arim v'chol hakikar v'haya hakol l'mayim. And everything basically becomes water. V'zehu yam ha'melach ha'mefur sam l'kol. So he's making the claim that you had, that the Dead Sea was created at that time through an earthquake, and that because, I mean, if you think about it, there's at least, insofar as how the Chumash presents it, it makes sense. Because when Lot chooses that area. Why does he choose that area? Because as the pasuk says in last week's parsha, Kigan Hashem Keres Yisrael. It's like a garden of God, like the land of Egypt. What's the land of Egypt? Go on Google Maps and whatever, Google Earth, and take a look at the Nile River. You look at the Nile River going down Egypt, and both sides of it, green as anything. You can get a little further away off of the Egypt, desert, nothing there. And so that's what it was. You have the Jordan River, which was a strong river, making that area a fertile plain. That's Kegan Hashem. And that's what it was. But when it gets turned over, what does it become? A place where there's nothing. And the place was the Dead Sea and salt. Okay, so where was that salt? It was below the ground. What does salty ground do for
destroys.
Well, it depends. What kind? It could be minerals, and it could actually be helpful if it is not on the actual surface. Okay, below the ground. Now I could be talking out of my. I don't know what I'm talking about. But the point is that whatever salt was there was not destructive to the place at the time because it was low enough down that it wasn't doing any damage to the place. Okay, or the water was strong enough coming from the river that it was good. So therefore, he says. There are such things as earthquakes which exist in nature. That what happened at that point was some great turnover and miraculous. The raining down of the fire and the sulfur was when the morning came. At the moment that Lot left stone. But the overturning didn't happen until later. So there were two kinds of destruction going on. So at the moment when they were outside of the city, that's what they were told, don't turn around because of the fire. In other words, you're not allowed to see the fire devastation. That's not within the realm of what you can see. V'ha'isha Shebita nidvaka ba hamaka v'nasasa nitziv melach. Okay, so what? Then let's understand this. It wasn't. So he's saying it wasn't. I always thought it was the mapecha. That it was the overturning. That basically, because what does he say? What does the Torah say? The Torah says that penti safet. Go to the mountain penti safet, lest you get caught up in it. So I always thought that the interpretation is that when the city gets overturned, all the salt that's underneath that now. Was under is now on top, and she just gets pentisafet. She gets overcome by it, and she's she's overcome by the salt, so she can't move anymore. Right? Imagine if you're standing here and somebody throws a ton of salt on you, you can't move. You're in a tziv melach. That's why the way I understood it. He's saying no. What is sulfur? What does sulfur and fire do to her? It turns her into an tziv melach, but not like in some science fiction movie where somebody. You know, where somebody morphs into a pillar of salt.
This is
but,
buried alive by it.
What?
This is like buried alive.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And that's what Nasasa Tziv Melach. Umashin Emar, Kilo Chal Asos Davar, Shav Al Mapecha. When the guy says to them, I can't do anything, he's referring to the overturning. Umidelo Amar, Vayam Tera Shebekdimas, Poal Hashem, Yoresh Eino Sidra Advar Ul Haros, Shalacha Shayat Hashem, Shalacha Boat Sora, Him Tir. Okay, in other words, it's showing that's not what happened. What happened is Rak Amar Vashem Imtir Bekdimas Hashem Lepoal Sheze Yoreh Al Haavar Hamukdam. That essentially, again, the Aksav HaKabbalah is doubling down on his interpretation, saying that the raining down of whatever came from the heavens came down as soon as they left the city. So it was contingent on their leaving the city. Behind him, Yad, he says, so in a year, this Havei Amatar. That's when everything came down. But as far as the overturning, that happened later. So when did Lot's wife get caught up in all this? So he's saying that she gets caught up in the raining down because she turned around and saw the raining down, which she wasn't supposed to see. And it was only when they got to the mountains that the mapecha took place. So I have another theory, but it's not my own. I've seen it in other commentaries that why did she even turn around? So some say that she was a nasty lady, that she turned around because she was a nasty lady and she just wanted to see what was going on. But the other interpretation is what? Why did she turn around? I think the Ramban actually may even mention this. Why did she turn around? See if her children were following her. And so what that does, though, is that puts her in a situation where it's not just that she's turning around to see if they're coming, but that she's turning around and probably running back. So it's not the mapecha, it's not the overturning that gets her, it's the himtir Hashem, which she had been spared from. In other words, they left, and she was not involved because the raining down of the fire and the sulfur only started after they left. But she sees that going down, and maybe she's like the ultimate fire rescuer, saying, "I'm going to go into the inferno and try to get them." And that is what the Pentek Safed. That's how she got overcome and taken in under that time. Okay, so for those who started here, it's been an hour, so we're gonna stop.